My first job was at a busy locally owned pizza place. My family was there on occasions throughout my whole life. It was the only pizza place in town that wasn't just a big chain, so it was very popular. I started as a server. However, just after I finished my training, the delivery guy quit without notice. I was there on the day it happened. He walked half an hour late from a delivery, looking like he had just seen a ghost. He was shaking and sweating profusely, and there was a noticeable limp in his step that he didn't have earlier. I asked him if he was all right, but he ignored me, limping into the owner's office. He was in there for just a minute or two. Then he came out and left the restaurant without saying a word. That was the last time I or anyone I know saw him, as far as I'm aware. He basically got in his car and skipped town. Soon after, the owner came out of the office and told me I was the new delivery boy until he hired a new one. Coming right off seeing how the last guy looked, I was nervous about it, but I couldn't exactly refuse if I wanted to keep working there. I also had the problem of not really knowing the roads very well, as I had just recently started driving. All I had to navigate was a paper map, which had a big red circle on it indicating the delivery area. The first few days weren't as bad as I expected them to be. I only got lost once or twice. Then my coworker gave me my next delivery address, and when I found it on the map, it was at the very edge of the red circle. It took me 20 minutes to drive there, and by then, it was dark out. When I arrived at the address, I got very confused. I was out in a sparsely populated area where most of the homes were trailers, but the house I was going to was large and old, set back quite a ways from the road. It had a dirt driveway that was poorly maintained, which led up to an equally shabby house. I couldn't see any indications that anyone actually lived there, but I drove up to it anyway. I knocked on the door, honestly hoping nobody would answer, but somebody did, and I was quite surprised by them. It was a beautiful woman, about 20 years old, wearing some pretty skimpy clothes. The only thing about her that kept her from looking totally out of place in that house was that she also looked a bit rough around the edges, like she wasn't maintaining the best hygiene in there. Of course, I didn't care about that. I had every intention of asking for her phone number after she paid for the pizza. I didn't handle the interaction very well, though, and I stumbled through asking if she had ordered it. She smirked and looked me up and down. Then she asked if I was nervous. I admitted that I was, but I kept going with the transaction and tried handing her the pizza, prompting her to go look for some cash. She dug through the tiny pockets on her short shorts, checked in her waistband and her bra, and even bent over to check in her boots, giving me an eyeful that seemed very purposeful. The next moment was like something out of a cheesy, dirty movie. She said to me that she must have misplaced her cash, but I was welcome to come in and quote-unquote help her find it. My blood pressure shot through the roof. I knew there was no possible way that I, as a teenage guy, could resist the temptation of what she was implying. She leaned up against the doorframe, sticking out her hips, letting the door open wide. The look on her face had a chokehold on me. But then I saw something that gave me some sense. The moon must have come out from behind a cloud, as the slightest ray of light came over my shoulder and shined inside the house. It illuminated the hulking silhouette of a large muscular man. And then the eyes shimmered, almost like the eyes of a cat under a flashlight. Powerful second thoughts came over me, and the woman at the door must have noticed something, because she suddenly dropped the act and grabbed me. I dropped the pizza on the floor as I fought to get her hands off my arms, and I could hear the stomping of the man inside rushing to help her. At the last second, I ripped her hands away and started sprinting back to my car. The man inside came out and ran after me, but I was able to get in and drive away before I got caught. I drove right back to the restaurant, and when I burst through the doors in a panic, my coworkers all looked at me and must have collectively thought, "Oh, not again." I told my boss what happened, and he thanked me for giving him an explanation unlike the last guy. He called the police on the address, and later on I heard that the woman and her accomplice were arrested. However, the cops weren't very sympathetic to my story, so they only got charged with trespassing. Unfortunately, those charges were dropped as the house actually belonged to the girl's grandmother, who had recently died, so the property hadn't technically traded hands yet. I was left wondering what they were planning on doing to me. If they were just going to rob me, or if they had more sinister intentions. I have to think about the previous delivery driver. and the fact that the people inside the house were probably the reason he quit and ran away, based on the limp and the lifeless eyes. I think something really awful happened to him after he got lured inside by that woman. At that time, in that town, that kind of stuff didn't get talked about, so I think he was just too ashamed to report it. I'm just glad I was able to overcome the temptation and didn't fall into the same trap. I was a pizza delivery driver during my sophomore year of college. I'll never forget my worst day on the job. The whole town was overrun for the first home game of the season against our big rival. I was bummed out when I realized I was scheduled that evening. What's worse, I found out that when the football games come to town and all the roads jam up, my boss knew the deliveries would never arrive on time by car, so he made us ride bicycles. On the one hand, I was saving money on gas, as well as getting some exercise and bypassing all the traffic by riding on the sidewalk. On the other hand, it was horribly hot and humid, so I was sweating like a pig. Plus, there was a huge spike in the number of deliveries I had to make. By the second hour of my shift, my clothes were soaked with sweat, and as the game got more intense, people started tipping less and shooing me off quicker, so it really sucked. By the last hour of my shift, I was absolutely done. I never wanted to ride a bike again. Thankfully, the game was over, so it was less busy. Then, I got my last delivery of my shift. I pushed off one last time, heaving myself along with my last bit of stamina. I was huffing and puffing by the time I got to the address, and ready to get the whole thing over with. However, I noticed how odd the house was. It was in a neighborhood I was aware of a lot of students living in, so since all the houses were rentals, they were all fairly well kept. But this house was in visible disrepair. The man inside was also odd. After I rang the bell, and he made me wait in the warm, swampy air for almost 2 minutes, he finally slowly opened the door. He was a small, hunchback old man, who looked quite out of it. He looked at me and smiled, saying,
"Oh look, a visitor. My nephew loves visitors."
I explained to him that I was delivering a pizza, and he looked confused. After a moment, he rolled his eyes and excused himself for being old and dottery, saying his nephew must have ordered it. Then he walked away, telling me to come in and get out of the weather. Normally I never would have, but I was sick of being out in the heat, and this guy looked harmless, so I stepped in. The man waved his hand at me to follow him, saying his nephew was downstairs in the basement. I said I would rather they pay me at the door, but the old man shook his head and said he didn't have any money, and his nephew wanted me to go to him. Wanting to get the night over with, I met the old man at the entrance of the basement. He pulled a chain, turning on a dim orange light that lit up the stairs and the first few feet of the basement floor. I saw a coffee table, and that's where the old man told me to put the pizza. I also noticed a wad of cash on the table, which looked like it was more than enough. So in a desperate bid for a well-deserved tip, I took the risk and cautiously descended the stairs. When I got to the bottom, I couldn't see anything else but the table right in front of me. So I carefully set the pizza down and grabbed the wad of cash, stuffing it into my back pocket without bothering to count. Then, I turned to go back upstairs. And that's when the old man at the top called out to me, saying,
"Two kids have fun down there."
Then, he slammed the door. I panicked and grabbed my phone, trying to shine a light. But just as I turned on the screen, a large hand grabbed my wrist. Then, a deep voice whispered to me,
"Don't."
I froze in terror and complied. A few seconds later, the hand released me. Then I heard feet shuffling behind me. I thought I was about to die. But then the same voice said to me,
"If you turn around, I will kill you."
I whimpered, "Okay." And then a flashlight clicked on from behind me, illuminating the stairway. I heard the voice tell me to go, so I forced every fiber of my being not to turn around and quickly made my way up the stairs, trembling. The moment I put my hand on the doorknob, the light turned off. I rushed out to the other side of the door and shut it without glancing back. I looked around the foyer, but I saw no sign of the old man. I didn't care about finding him, so I ran out the door. Then I got on my bike and pedaled back to the shop as quickly as I could. I tried to hide my adrenaline as exhaustion to my boss, which mostly worked. He let me off early without having to close since I had been working so hard all day. I walked home looking over my shoulder, wondering if I should call the police. Initially, I wrote it off as a weird shut-in, not wanting to be seen, but it kept bothering me. Eventually, I went back to the neighborhood and asked around about the people that lived in the house. I discovered that the old man lived alone at the house and was in the early stages of dementia, so the only people who visited him were nurses. I was able to get his name, but when I looked him up, the only relevant result was a younger man with the same last name. It was the mugshot of a fugitive who had escaped custody after being arrested in the area for armed robbery. My guess is he was that old man's nephew, and he was trying to lay low at the house but ended up starving for some food. His doddery old man must have screwed up his plan to get pizza delivered anonymously. I called the police to check the house at that realization, but by then, there was nobody home but the old man. I'm glad the man in the basement took mercy on me. But even then, I hope he gets arrested for his original crime, as an innocent person could end up being collateral damage. I used to be a delivery driver for a pizza joint on the edge of my small hometown. I delivered to everyone, and even several miles out into the more rural areas. Unfortunately, I hated delivering to people out in the sticks. I drove an old beater car. It had no power windows or air conditioning, and was held together by duct tape and hope. Every time I drove out of town on delivery, I worried about my car suddenly breaking down in the middle of nowhere. Thankfully, I went a long time before I ever had any issues. But eventually, the day came. I was traveling to a remote address with a large order. It was getting to be sundown, and as I got closer to the address, I started to become concerned. The GPS took me off the main highway and down a side street, then down a narrow canopied road that was labeled as a dead end. I'd never been down that way before. When I got all the way to where the dead end was, the GPS told me to go right, onto a dirt road. There wasn't even a sign naming the road, so I thought it was a long driveway. I went slowly for about a quarter mile down a bumpy, pothole-ridden mess as the sun set lower and lower. My car lights flickered a few times going over the bumps, making me wonder if I would even make it to my destination. However, I eventually entered a clearing where a single trailer home stood, being slowly consumed by vines. The headlights of my car panned across the property as I parked, shining on a litter of black kittens which scattered and hid under a collapsing deck, their eyes glowing at me from underneath. The cats actually put me at ease. It meant that somebody was probably feeding them. But the tiny little trailer home with just one vehicle in front of it didn't look like it had the appetite for what I was delivering. All the same, I went up and knocked on the door. Nobody answered, but I could hear some commotion from inside. I yelled that their pizza was here, and then a few seconds later, I knocked again. That's when a makeshift eye slat in the door slid open. But it wasn't eyes that I was met with. It was a mouth, smiling from ear to unseen ear, bearing rotten teeth. I heard them take a deep whiff of the food I was holding and groan in excitement. Then they told me to just set it on the floor. I said they needed to pay, and what the person inside said next floored me. "You saw the cats, right? Just take one of them as payment." I was appalled. I told them there was no way I would accept that. Instead of responding, the eye slat slowly closed. I gave up and went back to my car. I sat down and set the food in the passenger seat. Then I called my boss. I told him what happened, but he told me to try again as it was probably a joke. I sighed and hung up. Then, I looked back at the trailer and saw three people walking toward the car. I briefly thought they had come out to pay, but then I saw through the darkness that each of them was wearing a makeshift mask over the top half of their faces. Then, I looked in my rearview mirror and saw two more coming from the woods behind my car. They were all smiling as wide as possible, sending fear through my body. I locked my door and decided to flee, but when I turned my key, my car wouldn't start. It didn't even make a noise. I slammed my fist against the dashboard in anger and screamed. The battery must have died or gotten disconnected on the bumpy road, but it could have been anything. I kept trying to start the engine as the people in masks approached me and surrounded my car. They looked in through the tiny slits in their masks, smiling. The one by the passenger door said to me that all they wanted was the food. Then, right next to me, Another one had a kitten in their hands and told me I could still keep it. I shouted at them to go away, as there was no chance I was going to open my car for them. Suddenly, the one by the passenger door lifted a metal spike into the air, then slammed it through the window, shattering it into 1,000 pieces. I screamed in panic, but all he did was unlock the door from the inside and open it so he could grab the food. He took it a few feet away from the car and set it on the ground. Then the others rushed over to join him. The kitten was dropped on the ground and started meowing. All the masked people disappeared beneath the hood of the car. Knowing it was useless, I quietly got out and stood up. The image I saw next is something I'll never get out of my head. All five of them were on the ground, ravenously tearing apart the pizza and chewing it like animals. Just mouths without eyes or feelings. Terrifying. I picked up the kitten at my feet and ran down the road. I could barely see where I was going, and the cat was clawing into my chest. But I knew I had to get away from those horrible people. When I got back to the dead-end street, I stopped and called the police. I waited for them to come, holding on to the cat. When the cops arrived, I pointed them down the road to the trailer. They came back about 20 minutes later, saying they searched the place but found nothing except the litter of kittens and my broken-down car. All the evidence of the people squatting there and the food they stole from me was gone. To this day, I still don't know what was up with those people. At best, they were a bunch of creepy high schoolers doing some insane scheme for free food. Or at worst, it was some kind of weird cult thing. Either way, I lost my car and my job. The only positive I got out of the experience was my little black cat, Smile.
I was driving back from my friend's place in Wisconsin. I live right outside of Chicago, which is about a 6-hour drive. So I decided to do it all in one go. However, I didn't anticipate leaving so late. I wasn't on the road until 8 p.m, but I absolutely had to be home for work the following day, so there was no option to hang out any longer. If you aren't familiar with Wisconsin, it's mostly flat with a ton of forests all over the northern parts and small towns scattered throughout. The biggest cities are closer to the border, nowhere near where I was. My buddy's place was in one of these small towns, so pretty much right out of the gate, it was barren forest roads. There were a few cars here and there, but once I was 30 minutes out and the sun had set, there wasn't a single other car. I probably went a whole 2 hours without seeing anyone else on the road. The endless flat forest on either side of me was so repetitive that it was making me sleepy. It definitely didn't help that I was so tired from hanging with my friend all weekend either. I was trying everything to stay awake, but at just around 11 p.m, I actually saw something up the road. I opened my eyes a bit wider and could tell it was a person. They were standing on the shoulder and had their thumb out, clearly looking for a ride. For some reason, the very first thought that came through my mind was that having company in the car would surely help keep me awake. I almost instinctively began slowing down, and as I got closer, they started walking down the shoulder toward my car. I rolled the window down and pulled up next to them.
"Hey, I just need a ride into the next town, if you've got a spare seat for me."
It was really dark out, and I couldn't see much of him, but he sounded tired. I let him into the back seat. It wasn't until I started pulling away that the thought even popped into my head about why he was out here. I mean, the middle of the woods in the middle of the night was kind of a weird place to be. I looked in the mirror. The guy was looking at me through the shadow that covered the back seat. He looked like he was 30-ish, with stubble and a buzz cut, but I didn't see a backpack or anything with him.
"So, what brought you out here?"
he asked me. I told him I was at my friend's place for the weekend and was heading back home to Chicago. Then I asked him the same question. His straight face turned into a fake smile.
"Oh, I was just walking on a trail in the woods and got lost along the way. Found the road and figured it best to catch a ride."
I thought about his answer for a second. I didn't know about any trails or really anything at all in these parts of the woods, But even if there was, he would have had to drive to get here. Why didn't he mention that? Wouldn't he want me to take him to the trailhead instead of into town? I don't know. I was more awake and aware now, and it was making me uneasy the more I thought about it. But then the guy suddenly told me to stop. He told me to pull over and drop him off here. I cautiously did as he said, pulling the car onto the shoulder and parking. We were maybe 5 miles down the road from where I picked him up, and there was still nothing but dense forest all around. The guy quickly opened the door, and without saying anything, he started rushing away, heading for the trees. I was super weirded out and concerned about this whole thing, and at this point, I just wanted to get out of there. But he left the door open, and when I leaned into the back seat to shut it, I noticed a drawstring bag tucked under the passenger seat. It wasn't mine, it was definitely his. I called out for the guy, and he turned around.
"Hey, you left your bag."
He stood with a straight face and wide, frustrated eyes, staring at me for several uncomfortable seconds. Then he came back.
"Your bag. You left it right here."
I pointed under the seat, and he hesitated for another several seconds before grabbing it abruptly and turning around, hurrying back into the forest. I reached over and shut the door, then left the area as fast as I could. I was relieved to be away from that guy, knowing that something was definitely up with him. But it was only a few minutes down the road that I started to pick up on an awful odor from the back seat. It got increasingly worse over the next 30 minutes until I got into another small town. I stopped at a gas station and used my phone light to look into the back seat. On the carpet under the passenger seat, right where the drawstring bag had been sitting, there was a deep red stain. I almost threw up as I ran into the gas station and called the police. I gave them all the info I had on what happened, and they cut out the piece of carpet from my car to get tested. They also did a search for the man, but came up empty-handed, only finding a few footprints near the spot I picked him up at. I don't know exactly what was in that bag, but it seems like he was trying to plant it in my car as a means to cover something up. We still have no idea who he was or what he was up to that night.
My family has a cabin deep in the mountains that we enjoy traveling to every summer. It's surrounded by dense forest and nature, so it really feels like an escape from reality. To get to our cabin, we have to drive along a dirt road that winds through several other properties separated by wire fencing and a total of 5 locked gates. One summer several years ago, I brought my then fiancé with me for the first time. We all enjoyed a weekend full of hiking, fishing, and four-wheeling. On the day we were set to leave, my family packed up their belongings and decided to head out early in the morning. This wasn't out of the norm, as the drive out could feel a bit long. But my fiancé and I weren't ready to leave. We decided we prefer to have some alone time and prepared to leave later that evening. The day went great, and when evening came, we loaded our things into my truck, locked up the cabin, and started our drive back. By this time, the sun had gone down, and a sort of eerie darkness had crept in around us. Because it was going to be difficult to see, I drove slower than usual to avoid running off the road, or worse, hitting something I didn't expect to see in the road. The ride started off normally. As we approached each gate, I would get out and unlock it before driving my truck through. Once the truck was clear of the gate, I'd get out and lock it back up, then drive off to the next one. I preferred to do everything myself, letting my fiancé stay in the truck in case there were any bears nearby. Other than that, I didn't consider there to be any danger in being outside in the dark for just a few seconds at a time. But things changed when we reached the fourth gate. This change was in a fairly large clearing, making it easier to see the landscape reflected in the moonlight. The clearing, while more visible, almost made me feel less protected, like I was exposed to any potential threats. Despite this, I convinced myself there was nothing to be afraid of. I got out, unlocked the gate, and drove through it. However, when I went back to lock it, I noticed a small light about 50 yards up the fence line. I could tell the light was coming from a flashlight, and I could make out what seemed to be the figure of a man. I stopped for a moment and watched the figure, but nothing happened. The light and the man remained still. Shrugging it off as one of the other property owners, I let it be so I could close the gate and lock it up. When I turned back to walk around to the driver's side of the truck, I saw the light was now moving fiercely in all directions, and I could see this man was now racing toward us. He ran at a full sprint right along the fence to where we were. He wasn't shouting or making any other noise, just running. In the moment I spent being stunned and stupid, he closed half the distance. He got close enough that I could tell he was dressed in dark clothing and was carrying a backpack. There was no expression on his face at all. If anything, determination and nothing else. Finally kicking myself into panicked action, I jumped in my truck, put it in gear, and sped off. My fiance, seeing the fear in my face, asked what was wrong. Realizing she hadn't seen whoever it was running towards us, I decided against worrying her and said I was just startled by something. She asked what it was, and I said it must have been one of the property owners out inspecting the fence. I knew she realized this didn't make any sense, given the fact it was so dark outside. But she accepted the response and went back to staring out the window. We drove about a quarter of a mile before arriving at the final gate. I put the truck in park and hesitated for a moment, looking back down the road from where I had seen the man. It seemed to drag on forever, but after confirming I couldn't see anything, I got out and walked towards the gate. I still felt uneasy. I was bathed in the light coming from my headlights, and there was nothing but darkness around me. I felt the same feeling of exposure, but again, I convinced myself there was nothing to be afraid of. I unlocked the lock and opened the gate. As I made my way back to the truck, I glanced down the road again. To my horror, I saw the same light in the distant darkness again. I knew it had to be the same person. The light was flailing around in all directions again, letting me know before I could even see the figure of the man that he was once again sprinting after us. This time, I conjured up the courage to yell and ask if he needed help, hoping the man would stop and respond. However, nothing changed. The man continued sprinting towards us. At this point, there were 1,000 alarm bells going off in my head. I jumped in the truck and sped off before he could get any closer, leaving the gate wide open. My fiance, who can now see the man in the light, asked if we should stop and double check to make sure he was okay. I told her no. She then asked why we were leaving the gate open. I confessed that that light, that man, was the same person that had startled me earlier, and that he was running toward us then, just like he was running toward us now. Her face went white, and it was clear she understood that this man had been following us. I raced down the road, periodically glancing in the rearview mirror. Slowly, the light began to fade, and again we were surrounded in darkness. We eventually reached the canyon highway, turned off the dirt road, and headed for home. When we arrived later that night, I called my dad and told him what had happened. He said he had never seen anyone out that late before, especially like that. My dad then spoke to my uncle, who was heading up the next day, and asked him to keep an eye out for anything suspicious, but he didn't see or find anything. To this day, I have no idea who that man was or what his intentions were, but I'm glad we didn't stick around to find out.